The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. I'll talk a little bit about loving kindness. There's a number of reasons why we practice loving kindness. One is to cultivate and develop the capacity, the mind's ability to experience loving kindness. That is, to experience warmth, care, respect, love towards others. And we can, it's something that's kind of, I find is kind of remarkable that we can actually cultivate our mind to have it to have a certain inclinations. We can make it more and more habits of our minds. But as it happens, also doing loving kindness practice, loving kindness meditation, not only does it incline the mind, make it more likely, not only in meditation periods, but in our daily life, make it more likely that we'll experience, that we'll have some positive experiences, we'll have some positive emotions. It's kind of like a side effect, or maybe it's even the main purpose of doing loving kindness practice. You can choose like why you do loving kindness practice, but it does help us to have this feeling of warmth or connection, care, respect, love, that in itself has enormous benefit. So there's a researcher, Barbara Fredrickson, who has been studying this idea of positive upward spirals. And she has this theory, she calls it broaden and build. And that is that when we experience positive emotions, like warmth, care, connection, love, joy, contentment, when we experience those positive emotions, then it increases the repertoire of thoughts that we'll have, actions that we'll do. For example, for when we are experiencing a certain amount of contentment, then we're more apt to kind of like savor kind of the experiences that we're having and to integrate them into other areas of our lives. If we're experiencing some joy, some delight, then we're more apt to think about and to do things that are playful. And if we're experiencing some curiosity or engagement with things, then we're more apt to explore and to take in new information. And then love, which she says is an amalgam of these three, contentment, joy, and interest. If we're experiencing love, then there can be these recurring cycles of this kind of, urge or drive to be playful, to savor positive experiences, to explore, and to love. So then what happens, part of what her theory is, and is consistent with my experience, is that if we are having positive emotions, then kind of like increases the range of things that we're like to do, we're apt to do, and things that we're apt to think. And then that increase in the range of things that we do and think in turn builds resources for us in terms of then we start having different experiences. And these different experiences then can support us in other areas of our lives, especially when we're having difficulties or things aren't going the way that we expect them to. So in this way, loving kindness meditation can, no guarantees, right, but it can help create the conditions in which we experience some positive emotions. Having these positive emotions then can make us more inclined to, more apt to be playful or to explore or to have maybe a wider or more broad range of experiences. And then having this wider, more broad range of experiences then allows us to kind of build and create resources, including connections to other people, fun memories, let's see here, I have a little list here. We may have some new ideas. We may become creative, do some different activities. So in this way, I kind of like appreciate loving-kindness practice. Right? It's an ancient tradition from thousands of years ago. But here we are, kind of like modern psychology has measured, so this Barbara Fredrickson, she has measured, well, what happens if we intentionally increase positive emotions by doing loving-kindness meditation? And she discovered that indeed there is this, if you do loving-kindness meditation, there is indeed an increase in positive emotions. But you don't have to believe the data, right? You can do your own experiment. What happens if you do loving-kindness meditation? Most of these experiments were done where they were doing it regularly for usually like 6 weeks or 8 weeks or something like this before they, I don't know if they tested earlier, but they would measure at the end and see a difference. So you can see for yourself, A, what does increase positive emotions? Not only loving-kindness meditation, but I think a part of meditation practice is to notice our experiences. So now maybe if I've planted this seed, you can just notice like, oh, maybe there are a little more positive emotions. And then what's happening as a consequence of these positive emotions? So loving kindness meditation, those of you who have been here before know, maybe people who haven't been here before know, the way that I'm going to talk about tonight, it has three elements. The first being bringing to mind somebody or maybe a being in general in which to wish or have the intention to send loving kindness. So this being, we can visualize them, or we can somehow have another sense of feeling them or somehow bringing them to mind other than visually, any way that makes sense to you. The second is to notice the sensations in the body that support that. So is there warm feelings in the heart? Are there some openness, spaciousness? Maybe there's some ease. And then the third is to say some phrases that support our intention to help kind of bring the mind back to our intention to do this, to cultivate loving kindness. So tonight we'll start with a benefactor, that is somebody for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness, feel warmth, care, respect for. This can be somebody you know. It can be somebody you know of, but you don't have a personal relationship with. Or it could just be a lovable being. Kittens, puppies, babies. And then we'll move on to loving kindness for ourselves. Sometimes that's not as easy as for a benefactor. Sometimes it is. And then we'll move on to a neutral person, somebody for whom we don't know, we may recognize, but don't have a relationship with, the mail carrier, the grocery store clerk, somebody like this, somebody maybe that we see in our neighborhood walking their dog, something like this. So let's begin with a bright posture, alert, that has some intentionality with it, the posture. some softness as well as some uprightness, and some ease as well as some there's a word that just slipped my mind, so we'll just stay with ease then. And we'll start with 3 long, slow, deep breaths. Use the breath as a way to check in with the body. We can just very lightly do a scan through the body and see if there are areas that have some tension that we can just very gently soften or let go without making a project out of it, without having the feeling that we have to make anything in particular happen. We're just creating the conditions in which there can be more ease in the body. You might check in with behind the eyes or the jaw. Maybe the neck or the shoulders. Just allowing any tension that you find there to soften, to let go, diminish. It's okay if it doesn't also. We don't have to make it a problem. We can check in with the chest and the belly. The legs and feet. Feeling supported, feeling grounded. The arms and hands. And we'll begin with a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. So you can bring your attention to the sensations of the air going in and out of the nose. Or the chest moving, or the belly moving. Just very gently resting your awareness on the sensations of breathing. When the mind wanders, as it naturally will, just very simply, gently bring it back to the sensations of breathing. Find yourself lost in thought, see if you can simply begin again. So this practice of mindfulness, of resting our awareness, bringing our attention to the sensations of breathing, can be a support if while you're doing loving kindness practice you discover that everything except loving kindness is arising. If you have that experience and you'd like to, you think it would be supportive, you can come back to this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. And then to begin the loving kindness meditation, bring to mind somebody for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, love, respect, connection, openness. As I said, this may be somebody you know of, spiritual leader, for example. Or maybe it's some type of lovable being that you find your heart melting, or you can't help but smile when you think about or bring that being to mind. Don't worry about finding the perfect or the right one. You can check in and feel with your body as you bring the benefactor level being to mind. Is there a sense of openness or ease? A little spark of happiness? It doesn't have to be remarkable. It doesn't have to be large. It may be unremarkable. It may be small. But nevertheless, there may be a small feeling, subtle feeling, of warmth and care, openness. So we can cultivate this feeling, we can develop this feeling. If you don't feel anything, that's perfectly fine also, perfectly fine. And then to develop and cultivate this, we'll say phrases. You can repeat in your mind silently after me. And you're welcome to modify the phrases in a way that feels resonant for you. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You can check in with the body and see if there is a warm feeling, a feeling of ease or contentment, love. If so, perhaps you can allow it to get as big as it would like. You don't have to make anything happen. We're just allowing. If the feeling's not there, that's okay too. Maybe refreshing the image or the feeling of the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a bit so you can practice at your own pace. So now we can build on this foundation of loving kindness for a lovable being and expand to include ourselves. Some loving kindness to ourselves. Of course, we would include ourselves. We deserve loving kindness too, of course, of course. So you can bring a sense of yourself to mind. Again, that may be with an image, or maybe it's the felt sense of your body sitting here. If you find loving kindness for yourself difficult, some people find it easier to imagine themselves as a child, maybe even a toddler or a baby. And again, we'll use the phrases, just with a different pronoun. But before we do, again, you can just drop down into the maybe the heart center or the belly, as the body as a whole, and see if there is a feeling of warmth, openness, spaciousness. If so, allow yourself to be supported by this. Allow yourself to be nurtured, nourished. So, with the intention to send loving kindness to ourselves, can say the phrases, may I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And I'll be silent here for a bit. if you find that you're experiencing something other than loving kindness that is uncomfortable, difficult, perhaps you can have loving kindness towards that experience. Can you just allow it to be there? Or perhaps you can open your awareness really wide, really broad, so that you're experiencing or noticing a number of things, including the uncomfortable experience. Or you can open your eyes and keeping the gaze softly down. We can't make loving kindness arise. We can't make ourselves feel certain things. We can incline the mind. We can create the conditions, set the intention. But with regular practice, things become more likely to arise. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now we'll expand our loving kindness again a little bit more to include a neutral person, someone for whom we don't know, don't feel necessarily anything in particular towards. Can we include them in our wishes of goodwill? So again, you can bring a neutral person to mind. You can feel in the body, does it feel different than with for yourself or for the benefactor? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. And we can say the phrases. For the neutral person, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. again, you can check in with your body and see if there's any feeling of loving kindness. If so, we can allow it to support you. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the floor or the chair against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So with loving kindness meditation, we train the mind to be inclined to be more apt to be experience warmth and connection and loving kindness. Doesn't necessarily mean that while we are meditating that we're having these experiences. We may or we may not. But often they show up in our daily life with a regular meditation practice that we'll just start to notice that we more often are having feelings of warmth or connection. And in some of the research I was talking about earlier, they noticed that it's not only warmth and connection, but all kinds of positive emotions people are more apt to experience with this loving kindness practice. Which then, of course, have value in themselves, but also the positive emotions help create the conditions for our lives to unfold in a different way, in a way with greater ease, some more wisdom and care. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions or comments. If you want to share how that meditation was, how was it working with a neutral person versus yourself versus a benefactor? How did you find the phrases? Did you feel like you wanted to modify them? The experiences in the body, questions about positive emotions. I'm just throwing things out there. That's mm-hmm. kind of like.
So I had a little conflict earlier today, or during my day, and then I noticed during this meditation I had kind of like a heaviness in my chest, and I couldn't really get rid of it. I was trying to relax it, but you know I can relax muscles, you know, but I don't know how to relax my chest. So maybe.
Yeah. So. I'm going to talk a little bit about this tomorrow. I've just been thinking about this. That when there's uncomfortable or difficult sensations, whether they're emotions or physical sensations, we often have this idea that, okay, well, if I just pay attention to it in the right way, it can go away. Or if I soften it, it can go away. We have this kind of wish. Right, it's perfectly natural. Of course we have this idea. Nobody wants to be uncomfortable and having experiencing difficult things. But often what is needed is that the wish for it to be different, the kind of the pushing away, the aversion, the not wanting it to be there, that very activity, so there's the experience, the tightness in the chest. I think that's what you said. Was it a tightness? Yeah, tightness in the chest, and then there's our reaction to it. So our reaction, not wanting it to be there, aversion, wishing it were different, may be support. recording that actual experience, because somehow the reaction to it gets tangled up with it and fuels it. So it kind of supports it and makes it last a little bit longer or feel stronger or kind of co-opts all of our attention onto it. So this idea of we can't relax, right? So I don't know how to relax exactly my chest too, right? I don't have muscles here either. So instead we work with our reaction to it. And so can we soften this? Can we soften our reaction? That is, can we be more accepting? Can we be more allowing? Can we turn towards it and say, yes, the truth of this moment is that I'm having an uncomfortable, difficult experience. And can we just be with that? This is how it is right now. Instead of paying attention with the goal of trying to make it go away, which means we kind of secretly have this aversion here, but can we pay attention in a way that just allows it to be there? This isn't easy. And in that way, the part of the fuel for it, or what's kind of keeping it there tight, can be let go. And then this can follow, the difficult experience can follow its natural arc. Right, everything arises and passes away, right? Everything that's of the nature to arise is of the nature to pass away. And so either it will pass away in that particular time frame, or it won't. And if it doesn't do that, then maybe we can notice, if we're not quite as tied up with it, wishing it were different, we can notice some of the fluctuations. Maybe it's stronger, then it gets weaker. Maybe it's not always there. Maybe sometimes we have thoughts, we're lost in thought about what to have for dinner, or we're thinking about a sound that's outside or something. We can notice kind of the fluctuations of it, both in its presence and absence and its intensity. And that also kind of allows our response to it to shift a little bit. So that was kind of a long answer to your question, but was that helpful to address what you're talking about? Great. Thank you, Kim.
Kind of going along with what this gentleman was sharing, my experience is that if I'm really resisting some unpleasant feeling, that it just grows, gets worse. It, you get what you resist, kind of. So in order to not give it more power, and I feel like you can't just say yes to the good stuff, that saying yes to all the feelings, whether they're bad or good, lets the good stuff, it makes space to have a yes for the good stuff. So for me, I don't know if that's relevant, but for me, when it's negative emotion, I just throw myself into it.
Yeah, there's this saying, it's kind of corny, but it's kind of true. What we resist persists, right? So this whole activity of like trying to make it go away, I don't want it to be here, that kind of a feeling just often makes it stay, makes it, we're all tangled up in it and we can't allow it to.
I mean, to me, it's like when a little child cries, it's like with their whole self.
Yeah.
And it feels like their heart would break. You know, it's like really wailing, and we never do that. We're always kind of trying to tamper it down. So to me, that was a lesson in, oh, that's really being out there with the negative feeling. That's embracing it.
Yeah, so I don't know what the mind is like of a young person. I don't remember when I myself was that age. But this idea that somehow if we can allow and accept, which isn't so easy, but to kind of, you know, just as you kind of said, to turn towards as opposed to turn away, so we're not suppressing, we're not pretending like it's not there, but just kind of admitting this is the truth of this moment. This is the reality right here. And it's perfectly legitimate. The reason why it's legitimate is because it's there. It doesn't mean we like it or we want it or it matches our preferences. But yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So I did this meditation a little some time back as well. And in that, the last one was the one I did was, you know, with a difficult person. I noticed we didn't do that today. So was that there was some rationale behind that?
Yeah, so on these weeks here, I don't have us go into the difficult person often because we only have 1 hour together. And if you're new to loving kindness, I think going to the difficult person is really difficult. And sometimes everything except loving kindness arises. And it turns out that if just, it's kind of what I was talking about, if we are practicing loving kindness where it's easiest, where we are more apt to feel loving kindness and have experiences of it, that has tremendous benefit. On longer retreats and with concentration practice or something like this, then I think it can be worthwhile to go with a difficult person. But here, for a drop-in for 1 hour, I'm choosing not to go for a difficult, to work with a difficult person. Because there's so much benefit to have just cultivating it where it's easiest. And then to expand it a little bit, you know, for ourselves and for a neutral person.
Could you repeat the 4 different phrases
yes.
that we said? I want to write them down.
Yeah. So, may you be safe. And then may you be happy. May you be healthy. And may you live with ease.
Thanks.
And that's ones that we're doing here. And this is kind of consistent with Sharon Salzberg does, that she's one of the people who brought this practice to the West from Asia. But there's nothing magical about these particular phrases. You can mix them up in different order. You can use different ones or something like this. Yes. Yes. Maybe I'll tell this little story that one of my meditation teachers told me, and I don't know, it still makes me smile when I think about it. She said that she was teaching love and kindness. I think it was in Switzerland, and she speaks English, and she was teaching in English, and everybody spoke English, but they often had, you know, other languages as their first language. And she said that one of the students was following along and was doing the practice. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with eels. It's like squirmy little fish serpents or something. And I don't know, it's just very funny to think, right? Sometimes we get lost in the sound and we kind of forget the meanings or something. So, living with eels.
I definitely had a harder time concentrating on the stranger one, I think because it was harder for me to keep them in the forefront of my mind. So in those instances, I did get more lost in just the repetitiveness of what I was saying to myself.
It's great that you notice this, that it's not the same, right? And so we're kind of like expanding our capacity, we're kind of like stretching our limits a little bit here. It's fantastic. This part of what cultivation is about is to stretch our capacities a little bit. That's partly why we start where it's easiest too, so that we can build on that. It's kind of, I think classically, traditionally, they have them starting with the self. But often the self is not so easy. You know, here in the contemporary West, we're like so critical of ourselves. So that's why we start with a lovable being. But and as he pointed out, that we can get make this circle bigger and bigger and bigger to even include difficult people. But not surprisingly, that's difficult.
So when I had
can you use the microphone? Thank you.
So I had a similar experience with the stranger thing. I couldn't bring anybody to the forefront. I was thinking of which person shall I think of, and that was getting hard. So in such instances, what do we do?
Yeah, so that's right. So maybe it's easier to choose a person. And if nobody comes to mind, maybe you can think of a generic person, the person who delivers their mail, your mail, for example, right? You don't know, maybe you don't know who this person is, but and maybe like notice how does that feel to send loving kindness to somebody for whom you don't have a relationship with, you don't know their name, you don't know anything about this person, but can there be well-wishing anyway? And so in some ways, if it's difficult to have them an image or bring to mind, and you feel like that's a little bit of a struggle to do that, maybe you can see, well, can I just work with sensations in the body and with phrases to just cultivate this, in general, a sense of goodwill towards others, in general, a sense of warmth or kindness or something like that. And then we can go down here.
Thank you. First, I want to apologize. I hope I wasn't falling asleep and snoring. So if I was, I apologize. This is like my maybe fifth or sixth time coming. And one of the things that I've noticed is that you're absolutely right, that just the process of starting this kind of like cascades out. And I've started to even use the kind of mantra, like, I got to go pick up my son or something. Oh my God, geez, Luis, I can't believe it. You know, he's doing dance down in San Jose. I got to go drive down to San Jose. Like, it actually helps, like, on the way down to be kind of reciting this with him in mind. And then I'm like, I'm in a much better mood to pick him up. Or if I'm, you know, with my wife and, you know, it's been a long day or whatever, instead of like, you know, like, we'll just sit there quietly. And I'm like, we're reciting this. And it, you know, it's like these little mini incantations of this actually like help you focus in a way that I've found really positive. I don't know if anybody else has had that experience, or like my dad calls like, oh geez, my dad, you know, I don't know. I mean, just, I just wanted to share that. I mean, hopefully that's not a weird comment, but I've found that to be helpful in that regard.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? So it's almost like independent of what the exact experiences we're having in the meditation. In the meditation, we're learning a skill and we're inclining the mind, but often it arises, you know, during our daily life when we're not in meditation, and really supports us.
Yeah, I substitute mine with like, may you live with peace.
Yeah.
Life
hack, yes, absolutely. Thank you. Okay, it's 7:00, so I wish all of you some peace and ease. Thank you.